listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
Good evening and welcome to Nerds Assemble, episode 147. I'm Cookie.
I'm Paul.
I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
And this week we're talking about Disney's D23 Expo, covering everything from Finding Dory to Star Wars. As ever, you can find notes for this episode on www.nerdsassemble.co.uk, and please tweet us right now at Nerds Podcast if you have anything to say. Bear in mind, this episode is also available on iTunes and Stitcher. So, this weekend, we had Disney's D23 Expo, which was quite illuminating on what's happening next. Did anybody see anything much from there?
Nope.
Excellent. Brilliant. That's the wrong answer, Retroid. Excellent. But that was the wrong answer. You do not go past go and you do not collect £200.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. They had quite a few announcements to make there, which was quite interesting to see. Johnny Depp met Harrison Ford.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. Johnny Depp was dressed as Captain Jack Black, promoting the new Pirates of the Caribbean film, which they announced Orlando Bloom will be joining Johnny Depp to reprise his role in it, which I don't know is a good thing or a bad thing.
The original film was good. Two and three, not quite as much, but fourth one, it felt a bit, you know, like they tried to kind of plow on with just Johnny Depp, and I'm not sure whether it worked, really.
To me. I've been informed we've seen the fall.
You've been informed?
Yeah, but I honestly can't remember it. I think it's got pirates in, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's doesn't it have Penelope Cruz in?
And Brits in wigs.
Well, everything's got Brits in wigs.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Pretty much.
We done wigs.
Well, this is true. This is very true.
I'm powdering it right now.
See, now when you say you're powdering your wig, that just comes off completely badly.
Oh no, I'm powdering my wig later.
Oh, I'm not sure whether that's any better.
too good an opportunity to pass up there.
Well, that's fair enough.
He was very good. So the new movie is going to be called Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Okay.
So Orlando Bloom will be back to be Will Turner, which is weird. But we also now have a description about what the movie will actually follow. Would you like to hear the official synopsis?
Go for it.
Is it pirates?
No, it's a down-on-his-luck pirate called Captain Jack Sparrow, who finds the winds of ill fortune blowing even more strongly when deadly coast pirates led by his old nemesis, the terrifying Captain Salazar, escaped from the Devil's Triangle, determined to kill every pirate at sea, including him. Captain Jack's only hope for survival lies in seeking out the legendary Trident of Poseidon, a powerful artifact that bestows upon its possessor total control over the seas.
Okay.
Sounds familiar? Sounds very familiar.
It sounds more or less just like all the other ones. To me, but they just sort of merge. I just remember a weird English accent and lots of rum.
Lots and lots of rum.
Lots and lots of rum. That might have been me just trying to get through them.
No, this is true. This is very true. So they also held a big Star Wars section.
Okay. And this is where I heard some of the Star Wars news from. I hadn't realised it.
Yeah, Harrison Ford was actually on stage at part of it as well.
Ooh, nice.
He ran on stage, but they've released the first full cast photo for the spin-off film, Star Wars Rogue One. And it's been announced that they've hired Jurassic World director for the final film of the trilogy, which I think is pretty cool, actually.
Wait, I'm just kind of wondering, because obviously they've got that means that are they only doing like a trilogy and spin-off films then?
For Star Wars, yeah.
Yeah.
So far.
Oh, right. Okay.
So they've announced they're going to be doing a Han Solo film. Solo film. That was a stupid pun, but they're doing a film based on Han Solo as a younger Han Solo. They're doing Rogue One, which is actually going to be following the Resistance fighters planning to steal blueprints from the first Death Star.
Okay. Interesting.
Which could actually be quite interesting.
Mm. It's a film about an email account. Wow. Or a .torrent file.
And the cast is actually getting me quite excited as well, because you've got the likes of Felicity Jones, Forrest Whitaker, and Ben Mendelsohn, all been confirmed.
And Mads Mikkelsen.
And Mads Mikkelsen, yeah. And Donnie Yen as well.
See, I've always wondered about Forrest Whitaker, because obviously he was in the one that was starring John Thingamajee, the one that's based on Aaron Hubbard's book.
I was wanting to say Fashanu, but even I know that's wrong.
My John mind Goodman? Has just gone. Sorry.
John Goodman.
No.
What, wasn't he also in Alien 3?
Yeah.
That Scientology one. Yeah, you know, with
Battlefield Earth.
You mean Tom
Cruise's? That's one, Battlefield Earth.
I thought you meant Tom Cruise's autobiography.
Because obviously,
allegedly,
Battlefield Earth. Elron Hubbard's. Is Forrest Whitaker a Scientologist?
I don't know. I'd like to think not. But
I would hope so. I would hope not. I do not believe he is.
Okay.
If he is, then I have deleted that information from my tiny little brain.
It's very possible, but
it is, yeah. It is very, very possible.
Hmm. But,
That's fine.
Also,
go on.
It's got Alan Tudyk in.
Sorry, which one?
In Wash from Firefly.
Yeah. Yes. I know who he is, but...
In Rogue One.
All right, yeah. Okay, cool. For a second, I thought you meant Battlefield Earth. It's like, what?
No, in Rogue One.
Okay, cool.
In Rogue One, which is... Yeah. So it's getting, for me, the cast and that is getting quite interesting. It'd be interesting to see them trying to steal the plans for the original Death Star.
Also, did you hear the news about Tom Baker?
Yes.
Tom Baker?
He's going to be in the new Star Wars.
He's going to be one of the voices, apparently.
One of the voices?
For one of the characters, yeah.
Well, an animated character or...
I'm assuming CGI character.
Okay.
But that would be... That is going to be... That's just going to be heaven.
It does make me wonder, though, because, I mean, obviously the original trilogy, it started out off a couple of people's careers, but it had quite a few unknowns in.
Well, to be fair, Mark Hamill was quite unknown, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
They were all pretty much unknown.
I'm just not entirely sure about sticking, you know, quite as big stars in... you know, the Star Wars films.
They haven't really got... they've got the original casting, but a lot of the other characters are pretty much unknowns or...
Yeah, although saying that, the prequel
started
trilogy.
To get a bit more famous, haven't they?
Although the prequel trilogy obviously did have Ewan McGregor, did have...
Yeah.
Liam Neeson and...
Samuel L. Jackson.
Coolest
Jedi of them all.
Yeah. So, yeah, I suppose it could work. I mean, but I'm not entirely sure it would necessarily keep that B-movie feel. But maybe that's just me.
Yeah, I don't know. I've got high hopes for it. I mean, it's certainly a lot more. It's, for me, the Rogue One synopsis taking it a bit more into a more original approach.
I'm actually some more of the other stuff I've heard of. Yeah, in the Rogue One.
Mm.
Just to see what exactly they do with it. Although I did find out something this weekend about The Force Awakens, which makes me look forward to it.
Oh, okay. What's that?
It's being co-written by Lawrence Kasdan, who co-wrote Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
So all of a sudden, it's gone from, they're doing a new Star Wars, and I don't particularly trust J.J. Abrams after...
after Star Trek.
After Star Trek, especially.
Among other
See, darkness. I like Star Trek. I like the new Star Treks. I'm sorry.
Well, although saying that, I mean, Fringe. Fringe was his.
Yes, Fringe was ace.
So...
Yeah, but... Star Trek Into Darkness.
Was.
Hey, just because the director's done one thing that you hate...
It was shit. My capsule review of Into Darkness, it was shit.
Which is, you know, a fair review. See,
I liked it.
I just did not like it. It was not a Star Trek film to me.
I appreciate that it was kind of going for a look back at, you know, the, you know, original series and, you know, especially Wrath of Khan and stuff.
And trying to come up with some new ideas along the way.
Yeah.
But
I mean, if you've seen the How It Should Have Ended short of, you know, how Into Darkness should have ended, it's like they did kind of point out that, you know, Khan's blood has been proven to pretty much revive anybody, so there's no more death in the Star Trek universe. That and the fact that, you know, he actually has transporters that can transport him, you know, that far across, you know, large distances, which means that there's no need. There's no need for any kind of starships or anything. You can basically beam yourself to another planet.
You wouldn't have the fun and excitement of exploring.
That's very true. But I mean,
you'd have to do it the boring way. But no.
But on the flip side, you might not get Star Trek Into Darkness. Seriously, if you watch Wrath of Khan. And then you watch Star Trek.
Compare it to Wrath of Khan, though.
Nemesis. Yeah, but compare it to Star Trek Nemesis.
That wasn't that great.
Horrifically. It was shit.
Okay, shall we?
But Into Darkness wasn't as crap as that.
I've started something.
And anyway, I am right. But Lawrence Kasdan is co-writing The Force Awakens, which makes me excited because. Empire Strikes Back, what is the best Star Wars
film? I will agree with you on that one.
Yeah, so I am excited.
We will agree on Star Wars, Star Trek, we will have to fight over.
Yeah.
I like
swords. Presumably on top of a flying car.
I liked Empire Strikes Back, but I think I preferred The Return of the Jedi, mostly because Empire Strikes Back was always a case of like the rebels running away from the Empire, and that was the entire film.
See, when I was a kid and I first saw the Star Wars when I was about 5, Return of the Jedi was my favourite because of the Ewoks and the over-the-top fights and stuff.
Yeah.
But when I got older, the story for Empire Strikes Back hooks me more than Return of the Jedi does now. It's just the emotion from certain scenes and stuff.
There's a lot more going on in Empire Strikes Back versus, to me...
Which I never appreciated as a kid.
Return of the Jedi just feels like a series of big set pieces which were set up.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, for it. And that's fine. I still like Return of the Jedi.
You had Carrie Fisher in the bikini.
Yeah.
As a teenager... I'm sorry.
And the world's most useless bounty hunter being, dying by falling into a bloody Sarlacc pit.
But he survives the Sarlacc pit, so that's all right. Doesn't matter.
Anyway, shall we get back onto the topic at hand?
Yeah, sorry. Okay, so they announced that.
Yeah.
So they also announced We've got Disney Infinity 3 coming out this month, which happens to be Star Wars based.
Oh, wait.
It looks very good.
Yeah. Sorry, I was thinking, isn't that Marvel based? Other than that, no, that's.
It's 2.0. That's Disney Infinity 2.0, yeah. Which I do own, which is very good fun.
Disney
3 looks really good as well.
So, what, they're actually separated out into specific things now?
No, you can still mix and match them, but the kit with the start pack for Disney Infinity 3 is Star Wars figures, and you get the Star Wars playground.
The question is right with the Star Wars Infinity, as it were. What kind of art style are they using? Are they doing kind of a Clone Wars kind of art style for the characters, or?
It is sort of like Clone Wars, yeah. Sort of mixed Clone Wars and.
Because I wasn't a big fan of the, the style of Clone Wars.
See, you're all just trying to argue with me now, aren't you? Flippin' heck. You tell me to host the show, and then it's pick on Paul, right? Pick on Cookie Knight.
Yeah, but because you're the host, you can shut people down. That's your power now.
Really? Is it really?
Go for it. Okay. Yeah.
Well, Clone Wars was actually very good and very. It had a lot stronger story than the prequel films. Enough said.
I am going to agree with that.
Fair enough.
It was way of showing the Clone Wars throughout than watching the prequels. You find out more about the Jedi behind it and the sort of reasons behind it a bit more than the films. Mm. And it, to me, for a cartoon to do that is great.
I would rather watch the cartoon and play Star Wars Republic Commando. Or the inside story than the bloody prequels.
What's interesting is the Star Wars games all seem to have, been fairly well received. Like, was it the...
apart from the Episode 1 gifts.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, say, for example, The Force Unleashed, I think that was meant to be quite good. And obviously then there's the Knights of the Republic and stuff.
It was all right.
I haven't played Force Unleashed.
Force Unleashed was actually not too bad. Bounty Hunter.
No. Oh, that was shit.
Yeah.
My capsule review, again.
They also did that really weird Mario Kart ripoff.
Bombard
Racing.
No, they didn't. Yeah,
no, not Pod Racer is all right, but they did another one. No, Super they didn't. Bombard Racing or something. Absolutely. Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
You can't
face reality, sir. Like, which
are
leads
you being
me
the
on.
Emperor?
Which leads me on.
You're trying to break me with shit.
Which leads me on to a very nice announcement that Disney have teamed up with Sony. And this November, they are launching a Star Wars-themed PS4 console, which will be have a very nice graphic of Darth Vader on it.
The PS4 itself console. Is very nice, yes.
Yes, but this one has got Darth Vader on it. Need I say more? This is in conjunction with the release of Star Wars Battlefront, as well as Infinity 3, although Infinity 3 will be out this month, and then this bundle will come out in November. But what took my eye about this, because you'll appreciate this, is that if you get the Star Wars Battlefront Deluxe Edition, you'll also, in the bundle, receive a digital voucher to download 4 classic Star Wars titles, including Super Star Wars, Star Wars Race of Revenge, Star Wars Jedi Starfire, which wasn't bad.
I remember that, yeah.
And then Bounty Hunter, which is like a lucky dip where you just get the shit toy in it. But there you go.
that's the short straw.
Yeah. But they're all going to be supporting enhanced graphics and trophy support. And to me,
that's quite cool.
That's really cool.
They should have put in Republic Commando because not enough people played that.
Yes, Republic Commando would have been ace. And that's going to be part of the bundle. So you'll get the Star Wars Battlefront Deluxe Edition, the lovely glistened console with Darth Vader on it, plus titles for those 4. I'm a bit annoyed because they didn't mention whether those will actually be available to buy separately.
I would presume they would be.
and on other consoles.
Also, I can't help but
bloody better do.
I can't help but notice you didn't mention the terrible looking joypad.
Well, we can't have it all, Retroid, you know.
It looks like they tried to put it all together and they ran out of the right colour buttons, so they just put spares in.
It does look a bit bizarre. It looks like one of them Simon Says flashy keyboards from the 80s.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell they're going on with, because it's only the circle button, isn't it, that's red. It's a black controller. Yes. The D-pad
is red.
Is red.
And it looks like the trigger buttons are different colours as well.
Yeah, and it's only the circle button on the face which is red, and the rest of them are white.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why?
I don't know. Oh, and it also, that bundle, as well as getting the Star Wars Battlefront, you also get Disney Infinity 3 bundle as well. Which actually comes with... Ooh, that actually comes with... rather than the Clone Wars, there actually comes with The Rise Against the Empire, with the figures of Luke Skywalker, Leia, and Boba Fett. We now pause the podcast while Cookie goes and orders a PS4 bundle.
With a different joypad.
I'll just trade that in. It's not a problem.
Just put it in a bag, hold it at arm's length. And can I have one of your red and black ones or something like that? Just a different one.
We're going to see those pads kind of floating along in the canal, aren't we? Like in plastic bags, like, you know, the controller that nobody wanted.
Yeah,
I wonder if they'll do to it what the Xbox did, because the Xbox 360 Star Wars Special Edition, limited edition console, was pretty cool because of... when it actually opened the tray stuff, you had the sounds of R2-D2 and stuff.
Yeah, I watched one video of that, which was a demonstration, and my first reaction was, if I got one of those, I'd open it up and deactivate the sound.
I can imagine that would get very grating.
I'd do it once, and eventually. It would be, oh, right, it does that.
No, right, okay, screwdriver. Fine. Couldn't you... wasn't there an option in the actual settings to turn off the sounds anyway?
I don't know.
More than
might not have the patience to do that, and I'd just disconnect the speaker or something instead.
Hey, it's not like the Xbox 360 ain't like the dashboard on the Xbox One. You won't be spending 2 hours looking for the send. It will just be there.
Oh, good.
I don't think Retroid's convinced. I think he's going to stick with PCs.
Yep. I prefer my occasionally shitty frame rates and occasional crashing.
Well, as long as those digital games actually get released on PC and Xbox One, I'll be happy, to be fair. Because I would pick a couple of those up, definitely.
See, I already own them, so I can just play them in.
There's always one. Always one in the audience. You. But moving swiftly on.
Yes.
You were being very polite there.
Yes, I was. Yes, we will have manners. Thank you. Who liked Finding Nemo?
Yes.
Yeah, not too bad. Not my favourite Pixar film.
Get out. Get out.
What? Get out. What? Out.
We said no swearing, but you... we actually found out more about the sequel, Finding Dory, at the weekend.
Hasn't that been in like development for quite a while now?
Yeah, we'll skip over that because yes, it has. But
to be fair to Pixar, they're usually in development for a few years each.
They do tend to develop them pretty high quality, don't they? Do you know? Yes. They don't try and rush it out.
So I am a fan of Pixar. I am not really a fan of Disney.
Disney seems to have turned itself around. I lost faith in Disney when they started coming out with the straight-to-video rubbish like Aladdin 2, Aladdin 3, Aladdin 4, Aladdin 5, Aladdin and the 40,000 Thieves Go to America or stuff like that. It was just annoying. But now...
Aladdin in Space!
Don't give them ideas, Paul. Disney, if you are listening to this, that was a silly idea. We will not endorse it at all. Aladdin space. Oh my god.
No. You see, that is why. Now, all those sequels.
This is why I don't host this bloody podcast.
Yeah, but it's all the stuff that Disney did, and it was the quality that Pixar were coming out with, which is why I've been hyper defensive of Pixar for years. Yeah. So whenever there's a new film come out, and this is before the merger, so mm-hmm. it was always Pixar, which was a definite separate company, and Disney that just released them. And they'd say, oh, there's a new Disney film coming out, and it's Toy Story 2, and it's going, it's fucking Pixar!
But they have turned themselves around now, Disney. I mean, Brave was quite good fun to watch.
I did like Brave, actually.
Wasn't it?
And Tangled was quite amusing at times.
Yeah.
I did watch Tangled, I am bored.
I think a good analogy... And,
Frozen was the biggest hyped up animation film that I just wanted to squish under my foot.
It wasn't necessarily bad, but it was, as you said, overhyped.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's probably what killed it for me, to be fair.
I mean, it was released like a couple of years ago now, and we're still kind of seeing Frozen stuff being produced and being bought.
Yes.
It's bizarre the length of...
They have done a sequel, haven't they?
What? Frozen 2? What?
No, they've done a sort of straight-to-video thingamajig.
All right.
Just to keep it going.
But yeah, we watched...
You know, I really think that where it comes to Frozen, Disney really should listen to the theme song. Just let it go.
What? I see what you did there.
I did, yeah.
Wasn't Tangled on Netflix?
Might have been, actually, yeah.
And yeah, that's where I watched it, together with Up, which has the roughest quarter of an hour opening.
Yeah.
A supposed family film I've seen in years. Yeah. Bastards.
Oh, and of course we've had...
I was a wreck by that point.
Mm. Well, Disney always do that, though, in the films, don't they? They tend to kill off people in the first 5 minutes for some reason. It doesn't... Pixar. No, Pixar don't normally do that. So obviously somebody had obviously snuck in at night from Disney and changed the first opening scene. Probably the writer of Bambi, actually. He probably just snuck in and was like, "I need a bit more morbidity."
I think I did see a comic of, like, you know, things flipped the other way around, and you know, have basically this hunter with his son is like, "Oh well, if you don't shoot the deer, the orphanage is gonna starve." It's like, "Okay, Dad, I'm gonna have to shoot the deer."
Of course, one of my favourite films of this year is also Disney. I don't think it was Pixar. Big Hero 6.
That was Disney, I believe, yes.
Yeah, that was a Disney
Pixar. But which, yes,
I've not seen
and it. That was very good.
I know Kingdom Hearts 3 is actually meant to be getting a Big Hero 6 world.
Big Hero 6, yeah. That was announced this weekend.
Yeah.
Yes!
Did hear that part.
And that is looking immense, but there was still no launch date. No. So in 5 years' time, when you're listening to this podcast, we will tell you it will be launched the following week.
Am I dead inside if I say that I don't give a shit about Kingdom Hearts?
You're not
dead.
See,
you're just after arguments, aren't you? You're just after arguments. What's going on here tonight?
I like Kingdom Hearts, but, I mean, it's been a while since, you know... Because, I mean, Dream Drop Distance was quite good, but it felt like it was just kind of a setup.
Mm. Yeah.
And
I want the proper thing now. I need three in my life.
And also, what was the PSP one? Birth by Sleep. That was actually really, really good.
Birth by Sleep was amazing to play. Yeah. I really enjoyed that.
But once again, that felt
that's
like
a hell
it was
of a
kind
title.
Of. Yeah. Oh, no. The worst one is, what is it, 365 over 2 days or something?
Yeah,
that was like, what?
Did they do what's that method of writing where you just have, you know, like word tiles or bits of paper in a bag and you just pluck them out? Is that how they name these?
Scrabble.
No.
Okay. Sudoku.
But yeah.
Bingo.
Well, I mean, bearing in mind that obviously Kingdom Hearts 2 was the end of the PS2 generation. You know, we've gone an entire console generation without actually a main title on the Sony, Sony home console, at least. Unless you count in, like, the remixes.
I own the original Kingdom Hearts on PS2, and it is still sealed.
Still sealed?
Mm.
Wow.
Have you actually played any of the Kingdom Hearts titles?
I've played it around on a mate's copy, and that's why I haven't played it.
Ah, right.
Because it was like, the hell's this?
Could you not get into it then?
No.
That's fair enough. I mean, it's got a kind of weird internal logic to it that, you know, is kind of quite cool, but, you know, unless you're following the story, then it's like, yeah, this load of bullshit.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Now, you said that. I'm just going to sit here smiling.
But I'm quite a Kingdom Hearts fan, to be honest, so I can say that. Yeah.
Then who am I to disagree with a Kingdom Hearts fan? In this one specific term that I'm just picking out.
Okay, so moving swiftly on.
Probably.
Kingdom Hearts is ace. To there. I have the power. So, Finding Dory, that's what we're talking about, is going to be released next year, next June.
Okay.
And it's actually going to be taken up, hang on, June the 17th, 2016.
Okay.
Ooh, shaka.
I'll take it, Ellen DeGeneres is reprising the role of Dory. Good.
She is indeed, and it's actually going to be set a couple of months after Finding Nemo.
Okay. So I know sometimes they do swap out the voice actors for like the sequels if they want to kind of save money type thing.
Yeah, but no.
Usually if it's the straight to video or like TV special, then they just have someone.
The burn.
True.
Yeah. Someone who is, might as well just say, not really Ellen DeGeneres.
And they've also got some new characters, including Frank the Octopus, who's going to be voiced by Ed O'Neill for Modern Family and Married with Children. Boom! That should be quite interesting. Also, Diane Keaton and Ty Bowle will be in it as well. Which would be good.
I actually watched a Pixar movie this weekend, which I will.
Oh, cool. Which one?
Later. Inside Out.
Yeah, okay. Well, sorry, yes, I jumped. Sorry. Let me just get the screen cues back up. Damn. So Finding Dory is coming out finally next year. It should be very good, one would hope. So okay. I've got faith in Pixar, actually. Their sequels are normally quite good.
So, I have faith in Pixar, not Disney.
Pixar, yeah.
Okay. Screw enough. Disney.
Pixar. No.
It feels a little bit like the analogy of... With Disney and Pixar, it's kind of the relationship between BioWare and EA at the moment, it feels like.
You do realise Disney will be Skynet soon.
That's actually a very good analogy. I trust one and really not the other.
Although saying that, at least Disney, when they launch stuff, it is actually complete.
Yes, it is.
Finished. You're not watching a film and it's got, scene incomplete. Insert Reel 3. $15 DLC.
It hasn't got Merida's face missing from Brave.
Exactly.
Just the teeth and the eyeballs.
Staying with Pixar.
Of, Nightmare Children.
Toy Story 4.
Really?
Yes.
I am really not sure how to feel about that.
There was a bit more news revealed at the weekend where they announced that it's looking like it's going to be a romance story between Woody and Lil Bo Peep.
Not Buzz.
No, not Buzz.
Surely it should be Woody and Buzz.
Well, maybe that's the secret. Maybe it's a love triangle.
But I thought Buzz and Jessie got on.
Yeah, Buzz and Jessie were.
So maybe they're going double dating or something.
Oh no, it'll be like sleeping with the enemy when they're suddenly swapping people around and stuff.
Not good. This is going into some weird territory.
It's after the watershed. It is Nerds After Dark. Welcome.
And suddenly we're shipping Woody and Bo Peep.
Oh god, brain. No, I'm
just did you like that voice there?
adult toys. Sorry. Oh god no.
Is that moving swiftly on?
I don't know why that doesn't look anything like a rabbit.
They also shared some news that they are going to be renovating, or not renovating, but expanding Disneyland in America. Both of them. There's one in Orlando, and where's the rest of them?
They're annexing the rest of Florida.
No, in the US of A. There's two, isn't there? I'm sure there is. And I'm sorry for not knowing where they are, but I've never been to the USA. And if I did, I'd be bankrupt.
Orlando is in Florida.
Yeah, I was only aware of the one. I know, obviously, there's Disney World, is it? In
Disneyland France, in Anaheim, California, and another in Orlando, Florida.
Ah, fair enough.
Gotcha.
Fair enough.
There you go. So
I only ever hear about the one in Florida.
I was vaguely aware of there being two, because it's a big country.
I'm sorry, guys, but we're going to have to get our passports and start saving, because they are going to be creating Star Wars-themed lands for both parks. Each will be made up of 14 acres. And this is going to be the largest single-themed expansion. And they will even have proper cantonars in there.
Cantonars?
I was going to say, what, French footballers?
Like the Mos Eisley Cantina.
I thought it was Cantina.
Cantina.
Yes, Cantina. That'll be the one.
That's right.
Bloody Star Wars
my
pubs.
My brain is having a real problem now with a Star Wars Cantina.
Delete the last 5 minutes. Damn you.
God.
The parks will have two main attractions.
I just realised Retroid made a football joke.
I know. That's what I'm trying to...
What have you done with real Retroid?
It's been in beer adverts for ages.
They're going to have two main attractions. Okay. This one's for you, Retroid. One is going to allow visitors to board the Millennium Falcon and fly what is described as a secret mission.
Now, you see, they're making the error there that they think they would get me out.
Retroid goes in
where Han has those little smuggler plates in the deck.
I'm pretty sure they'd check those.
I would live there.
Considering the dedication that a lot of Disney World employees or Disneyland employees actually have, like, I'm not sure whether you've heard, probably on the internet, that, you know, if you shout Woody's, no, not Woody's coming, Andy's coming.
What?
That's a different theme park altogether. Woody's coming!
I'm shouting that later.
See, you're jumping ahead now, aren't you, to the next Toy Story news. What are you doing?
But yeah, if you shout Andy's coming near like the people in costumes who are kind of dressed up as Toy Story toys, then they will kind of just flop on the floor.
Really?
Apparently so. I think there's a couple of weird ones, like if you challenge Gaston to do press-ups,
I think we need a special edition podcast on video where we're in Orlando, Florida, once the Star Wars themed lands have opened up, finding Woody and shouting that just to see what happens. Sounds like a plan to me. There you go. And the other attraction is a battle that puts visitors between the New Order and the Resistance from Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Okay.
But what's the band got, the New Order, New Order got to do with it? I mean, I like some of the hits, yes. I mean,
New Order,
they've been off the boil for a few years, but...
I was going to say, New Order, I don't think I'm old enough to remember that.
Oh, fuck.
I'm sorry.
Oh. I'm just going to go lie down. It's time for my nap.
In other news, they also showed the first footage from Captain America Civil War.
Oh, nice.
Which was very cool, supposedly. It hasn't been released online or leaked or anything like that, so you'll have to go with what people have reported.
From what I've heard, it's obviously going to be like an internal kind of thing in terms of there's not going to be like a bad guy from out of space that wants to blow up the Earth or whatnot. It's going to be like Avenger versus Avenger, so there's, you know... I'm kind of liking that more in a way than Infinity Wars.
You see, if JPEGs didn't lie to me a few months back, it's going to be about whether that was a you know, white and gold dress or a black and blue dress.
Or, I'm sure somebody's done that meme.
It could possibly be about opinions of Star Trek Into Darkness and Kingdom Hearts.
You had to bring that up again, didn't we? Back to the naughty step for you, Retroid.
Can I shout in Star Trek Into Darkness is shit while I'm sitting on the naughty step, or is it forbidden?
That's another 5 minutes. I don't know.
Also, Star Trek or the Voyage Home is shit.
You're just being hurtful now. There's no need.
Whales are great.
No need whatsoever. just quickly as well, they showed off some of the concept art for the new Doctor Strange film.
Ooh, nice.
It's going to start filming soon, and it looks like, from what I've read, it's going to be quite. It's going to be quite close to the actual comic book.
I am right.
The costume stuff. So,
am I right in thinking that right? Because Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be Doctor Strange, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the other bloke, Martin Freeman, is going to be in.
Civil War,
which means that the Marvel Universe is going to have Sherlock.
Yes, it is. It's going to have Sherlock and Holmes.
I wonder if he'll try and emote this time.
Crikey. So that was the D23 Expo. I think I've pretty much covered quite a bit of what interested us anyway.
Am I the only one thinking, when looking at that name, that that's a very weird die? And it would be difficult.
What, a D23?
Yeah, a D23. Yeah.
It would be.
23 sided.
Be very difficult.
Yeah. I mean, unless you've got one of those, have you seen those die which are almost like a cylinder, but just kind of like with triangular sides? I'm pretty sure you could probably get like 23 of those. Rather than like having all the sides of the die kind of equal size and kind of shape and whatnot.
Yeah. I've tried playing a game with a D100. That was insane.
D100?
Yes.
Okay.
It was basically like a golf ball.
I'm not surprised, to be honest.
There were arguments about what number it came up on because it was hard to tell.
Mm.
Four.
Much easier to get two D10s. Much easier.
Yeah. Or just one D10 and just roll them 10 times.
So was there any other news tidbits that you wanted to quickly discuss this week, gents?
I think you've actually covered most of what I heard, to be honest.
Can I just say that the rumour was last week, which I'm very excited now to go and see the film, in a private screening of Batman versus Superman. Ben Affleck actually got a standing ovation for his performance.
Interesting. Interesting.
I heard that, yes.
Mm. Which is intriguing even more. Nothing was said about Henry Cavill's performance, though.
I'll get into Henry Cavill in a
bit. Okay.
But, to be honest, cool. I think a lot of people were kind of skeptical because obviously Ben Affleck was Daredevil and people hated it. But yeah. Ben Affleck was also in like Argo and Gone Girl, and those performances were really good.
And Good Will Hunting, which he co-wrote.
So, I think it was a bit of a Chris Evans situation where, you know, he's good as Captain America, but Johnny Storm.
I actually liked him as Johnny Storm.
Yeah, but part.
I'd completely Fantastic Four films. Johnny Storm.
Yeah, the Fantastic Four films is, you know, kind of.
The first one was all right. The first one is watchable. Mm. I liked it. It was good.
Watchable in a kind of camp way, not necessarily kind of in a current Marvel way.
That makes sense.
I thought it was watchable crap. If you get what I mean. Yeah. As in, it definitely was not a good film, but I watched it. And I didn't have an urge to kill anyone after it.
It's only got better reviews than the new Fantastic Four.
That's quite good for you, Retroid.
Capture review, a bit crap but watchable.
We're getting there. We're getting there, Retroid.
Yeah,
next week you'll like something.
I've heard bad stuff about the new Fantastic Four film, but by the same token, a lot of the time it is a case of well, people kind of went in kind of thinking that it was going to be crap, so they probably, you know, thought that it was actually average, but it didn't change their minds about.
Well, a mate of mine went to see that, and he said, "Here, what you know, watch this trailer," which it was Doctor Doom.
Yeah,
yeah, walking through a few corridors and beating you know people up.
Yes,
and he's saying, "Right, that's basically all the whole he does film. In the film." Yeah, that's basically him right there.
I thought Dr. Doom
see him for much more than that.
I thought Dr. Doom was actually meant to be really smart or something.
He is. Okay. But hey-ho.
Fair
that's enough. Another story.
Again, I think when it comes to, well, you know, with the original Daredevil film being shit, it's not going to be entirely down to one actor.
Well, no.
There was so much else from what I've seen of that, you know, that was just wrong, and what the hell were they doing?
But I mean, that's people all over, you know, they kind of watch a film and go, oh, it's crap, therefore all the people in it must have been crap. It's like,
yeah, and they like to have one person to blame.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't think that, I can't remember his name, but, you know, the director.
Josh Trank.
Yeah, yeah, that's him. Of the new Fantastic Four. It's like, yeah, he didn't write it as well. And apparently there were rumours of you know, lots of studio interference and you know, things like that.
I'm not surprised in the least.
Yeah, so sometimes a film can come out of it. Yeah, you know, and you know, be okay, but sometimes it's
That's the thing with Hollywood, though.
Sometimes it's transfers to film,
don't it? Yeah, that's the thing with Hollywood, though, because, I mean, you've got basically two kind of core aspects to Hollywood, which is the creative side and the financial side. And obviously, you're going to get, you know, certain films which can, you know, kind of manage the two together quite well. And then you're going to have films which, you know, it's torn apart by those two forces.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
Moving on. Richard.
Yeah.
Have you seen what you've been up to?
Yes.
You evil bugger.
What?
Yeah, I've just seen the last thing you put on there.
yeah,
get on with it then.
there's not much to talk about there, but that won't stop me. I watched Ex Machina, which is the new film, well, you know, latest film by excellent, I've forgotten his name, writer bloke who did the Dread film.
All right. Okay.
And he also did The Beach, which I found weird. But yeah, I forget his name. So anyone, you know, anyone with Google, it's Ex Machina. I'm just gonna take that.
I did see trailers for it because it came out this year, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a
and
good film, actually.
I think we've had a couple of different things, which is kind of exploring similar concepts about the shortening of the gap between man and machine. So,
yeah, I heard some interviews he gave on the radio, and I have to agree with him. It's
you're
the whole
Alex Garland.
Alex Garland, yes, thank you.
That's quite alright. That's what I'm here for. I'm here all week.
But yeah, he was answering the old question of, well, should we be scared of artificial intelligence? You know, when a machine finally becomes actually conscious and not just, you know, faster doing things.
Yeah,
and the answer he gave, which was pretty much what I'd thought of, you know, for years, it comes back to the old question of if you had a chance to kill Hitler as a baby, would you? Because he's not that evil bastard yet. Now, every time someone has a child, there's a chance that that person is going to grow up to be a megalomaniac. But do we ever think twice about that?
Well, no, but you can't guarantee that it will turn out that way. So,
yeah. So why really would we presume that an artificially conscious machine would be a megalomaniac?
I've actually been watching a couple of YouTube videos previously on you know, the concept of artificial intelligence from, I think it's a channel called what was it, Computerville, and the guy that kind of explained is to do with artificial intelligence, kind of explains stuff actually quite well. You know, it kind of comes up with examples of, say, for example, building an artificial intelligence where its main goal was to collect stamps and kind of the steps that it would undergo in order to do that. And, you know, if you've just given the machine that one focus, then, you know, and, you know, as much processing power as it needs, it will start actually developing different ways of achieving that goal that you don't necessarily want happening. Say, for example, stealing other people's credit card details in order to buy more stamps, or maybe taking over remotely printers so that it can actually print its own stamps without the cost of, you know. And so... Yeah, it's a very complicated issue that I think most of Hollywood just hasn't even scratched the surface of yet.
Because we're so used to anything being from the outside or not of us being out to kill us. If we meet aliens, they're usually going to try and blow us up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we, you know, if there's an AI, Skynet.
But I mean, it's always
Amazon.
One of the justifications in MediaTek for this type of thing happening is that they want to kill us before we can kill them. And I don't necessarily see that as necessarily the case, you know.
Yeah.
No.
But you know, coming back to Ex Machina, because you know, all those things do hold sway when it comes to you know, the whole question of AI and consciousness.
Yes.
Now, the basic plot. Is there's a Google-like company, which you know, has the vast majority of, you know, the world's inner search and things like that. Yeah. There's this employee who wins an internal company lottery to spend a week with the boss.
Okay.
So he gets whisked off in a helicopter to an extremely remote location in the middle of nowhere that looks like it could be either, you know, like, remote Canada or remote Scotland, but you know, either way, it's, you know, gorgeous location, but there's nothing for, you know, miles around, apart from the boss's house.
Yeah,
and it turns out the boss has had this little project, and he introduces this project, who's called Ava, to the employee, and she's an android. And, you know, it starts off and she's very noticeably an android because she's got a human face, but most of her body is transparent. And it's very nicely done, obviously, you know, CG, but it's all motion captured and it looks, you know, very nice and realistic, and, you know, naturalistic.
It's very natural, doesn't it?
It does. And the idea is that she's just in her room. This employee goes, you know, to talk to her, and his task is to decide whether she passes as conscious.
Oh, okay.
Basically the Turing test.
Hmm.
And as the film goes on, it turns out that there are things,
a few
that,
hidden surprises.
Yeah, the boss hasn't been entirely honest about some of the things that are going on, and. I really like, well, first of all, I'm an absolute sucker for, you know, when it comes to AI and consciousness and the ethical question of, you know, what is it? And what right does it have? And what right do we have over it? So, yeah, there's all of that going on. And I'm not going to give anything away, but it's well worth watching. It's not an action flick. It's not going to be Skynet.
It makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It
makes you think. It raises issues, and the performances in it are top notch. Considering there's only about three or four people.
Funny you mentioned the Turing test, because that's also taken into account with those videos that I mentioned earlier. It's the Turing test is good if basically the computer knows about what you're kind of what you're discussing, as it were.
Yeah.
So, say for example, if you know, you're kind of talking to a chess computer about chess, then, you know, obviously it may actually pass the Turing test because, you know, it can you know, do whatever.
Funnily enough, a chess computer is mentioned in the film.
Yeah, but say for example, if you know, you ask the chess computer about something about Google Maps or about, you know, geography or whatnot, then obviously they will have no knowledge whatsoever. And I think part of the problem with everything is that humans generally tend to create models and use those models outside of the circumstances that created it. And we don't necessarily have that with computers, especially at the moment. You know, they cannot kind of look at like a chessboard and, you know, kind of see, kind of generalize about like turning left, turning right, going forward, going back and, stuff like that. They wouldn't be able to utilize the knowledge from chess to navigate in the real world.
Exactly. And that is basic. That is part of the, have you seen Ex Machina?
I have not. No.
I have. And I loved it.
This is raised because when the employee and his boss are talking about how he's trying to analyze whether Ava is aware, then he mentions a chess computer, and it's like a chess computer is absolutely fine if you're playing chess, but if you ask it to do anything else, then it's got no frame of reference. So you could play a chess computer and think this is making some very smart moves because it knows these rules in this particular scenario. Yeah. But if you put it outside that, how the hell does it cope? And also I'll say, when it comes to the Turing test, since I've been on the internet for years, I've lost count of the number of people who would fail the Turing test. Let alone computers.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah. In closing, go watch Ex Machina because it is bloody awesome.
It is really good. I have to agree with Retroid on that.
I do want to watch it, and I'm certain that I will enjoy it.
So. I thoroughly recommend it. It's gone to one of my all-time favourite sci-fi films. That quickly, and it's as I said, it's a very small cast. Probably by far the most expensive bit of it is doing the effects on Ava, and they do work perfectly. Another thing I watched this weekend was Inside Out, which is the new Pixar film.
Yeah,
bloody which I really want to see.
Oh, it's good.
Is it?
It's excellent. I expected it to be good, and it was good. It did not disappoint, and it's got an excellent cast as well, including as soon as I recognised him, because it's like, oh, brilliant! It's got Lewis Black from The Daily Show and things like that.
Yes.
He plays Anger.
Oh, cool.
In her head.
Nice.
So, of course, he does a very good Anger because he is Lewis Black, and he usually does angry rants on The Daily Show.
Excellent stuff. That's right. But so, you saw that as well, Paul?
Oh, yes, and I absolutely loved it. It actually kind of taught me more about kind of emotional intelligence and stuff. And kind of seeing what happens in the story and knowing about, stuff about depression and loss and stuff like that. You can kind of see it, and it's like this, you can kind of see it happening in front of you.
I thought it was a very clever film because, of course, when certain things happen in her life and she decides to do them, it's when joy and sadness are missing. And she just acts blank.
And doesn't know how to act.
Exactly, and it's just, I loved that, because it's just such a clever concept.
Yeah.
And there it is, because of course, joy and sadness are trying to get their way back to the to headquarters.
Yeah.
In her head, and in the meantime, she's doing stuff and she doesn't realise the consequences.
Absolutely, and one of the things that gets me is that when she's a kid, each memory that she has, has a feeling associated with it.
Yes, it's basically this is happy, this is sad,
and these memories can actually change what emotion is kind of connected to it.
Yeah,
as well, which causes a lot of the tension within the film. And I'm not sure whether to try and spoil it or not, but
No.
I was trying very hard.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
But
no. The law says no.
That there's an understanding that comes out of it that is just like mind blowing, even to, sort of like a 30-year-old.
Yeah, it's a very intelligently done film, and
cool.
It's just yeah, I just, you know, really liked it. And I thought, you know, from watching the clips, I thought, yeah, I'm probably going to like this. And it's Pixar as well. So, you know, Pixar, it's usually, I was saying usually because I've never been convinced by Cars.
No, neither have I.
For some reason, Cars just...
Which is kind of weird because I do like Owen Wilson as an actor.
Hmm. But...
Yeah, there's nothing specific I can put my finger on with Cars. I've seen...
maybe it's just the fact that there's no humans around.
I don't think it's like, even
how,
that.
How does that work?
But it's just... I just... No, you know? I just didn't... It didn't click. But, yeah, Inside Fair Out, enough. Brilliant film. And also, it's something which... it's one of the best types of, you know, films like that, where it's a family film. Because I think, you know, there's a lot of there for the kids to really enjoy. So, you know, the kids will love it. And the parents will love it as well.
Mm.
And I think as, you know, the kids grow up and, you know, maybe, you know, rewatch it, it is one of those where they will see things going on in a different way. And you go, oh, I didn't realize that.
And I think it's also because it kind of deals with feelings themselves.
Yeah.
I think you're going to watch it and you're going to see something of yourself in there, how you felt about something. It doesn't matter whether it's, you know, the situation itself, you know, kind of speaks to you. It's the emotions behind it that speak to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in closing, with Inside Out, it's the reason I love Pixar.
It's bloody brilliant.
Cool.
Yes.
Excellent stuff.
Now...
choose one.
Well, the very last one is just going to be very quick, so I'll do that one anyway. But yeah, there was
I've got this on tape that you've said that now.
Oh, tape, you're so retro. But this was a free weekend for Civilization Beyond Earth.
Cool.
Which was sitting there on my wish list, and I thought, right, free weekend. Okay, I'll install it. I'll give it a go. And I ended up really enjoying it. But coming from someone who... I have several of the Civilization games, but by far the most time I've sank into a Civ game was Civilization Revolution on the 360.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, coming from that, there are a few things that it doesn't explain, which you know, I was trying to get my, you know, my head around. But
yeah.
In general, I was enjoying it. It's a strategy game where Earth has, you know, died. So various nations of Earth have, you know, spread out and they found a new world to colonize. And there are various ways you can do this. You can dominate the alien life. You can enslave it or use it or hybridize with it. And this will change the politics of how the, you know, the other Earth factions will treat you, because they have very, you know, they can have very strong reactions of you know they think you're losing your humanity, so they're not going to deal with you anymore, and you're a waste of space.
Yeah,
but I enjoyed it. It's actually made me go back to Civ 5, which I'd sank, you know, a few hours into when it was a few quid. Oh, a few years back now. So, you know, I've gone back to Civ 5, seeing as, you know, the weekend has, of course, you know, turned over now. It's sort of got me back into Civ 5. So, I've been enjoying that, and I can see some of the problems people had with it, because, you know, playing Civ 5 after playing Beyond Earth, there's not really that much difference. You just have these, you know, aliens that you have to deal with, an alien miasma that you can, you know, either try and wipe away or merge into, depending on you know, what tech tree you're doing.
Cool.
But yeah, it's something I think I'll pick it up, because I quite enjoyed some of the spins on things. But yeah, I'll go back to that when, you know, I see it on sale, because it doesn't an expansion that's just come out, which of course is what they really wanted to push with this free weekend. But I'm not sure about the expansion, so I'll see when, you know, when it's there's like a game of the year. The very last item is planetary landings are coming too early, dangerous.
I did see that.
And it has tempted me even more to get it.
What? Go watch the trailer. Have you seen the trailer?
Yes. That's what tempted me in the first place.
It's like, oh, God.
It looks really good.
Fly down to a planet, which, to start off with, they've said they're only doing airless. Which is like, you know, okay, I can deal with that because, you know, they've said they'll be doing different, you know, planetary types and different atmosphere types and life.
Yeah.
On planets, you know, a bit later on in the expansion. But just to start off with, it will be airless worlds, but they will be full size. When you land on them, you will get a little buggy that you can undock from your ship and drive around the planetary surface. These will be procedurally generated, full size.
Yep.
They've also said that if someone, you know, if two people are playing together, one of them has the Horizons expansion and the other one doesn't, you will be able to see the other player land on the planet and the little buggy driving around on it if you're close enough. But you just want to land. But there will be secret resources to find. There will be bases. And there will be ruins or crash sites of other ships.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping not necessarily human, but I bought it because it was basically take my money.jpg as soon as they showed me that trailer.
Announced it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm waiting for the beta, which they've said should be in the next few weeks.
Nice.
So expect me to dribble about. Driving around a boogie about an alien planet.
Absolutely. No, it looks really good, to be fair. I'm glad they've looked at doing that. Okay. Which is cool.
Okay. I'm going to go. Yep. So first thing I've done in a while, Splatoon. I received it for my birthday and I finally booted it up.
You were playing a Nintendo game?
Metroid. But, I've been looking forward to this all week. Shh. Tell me more.
I haven't actually played the multiplayer yet, which is obviously the main point of the game.
Oh,
I've been trying to get through the single player mode first, you know, just to kind of sharpen up skills, make sure I know what I'm doing before I go into online matches.
Yeah.
I'm... The single player mode, it kind of gets the point across to, you know, how to, you know, do stuff and whatnot. But it does feel a bit like, you know what, this is kind of semi-platforming, maybe like too much platforming because, you know, the actual main purpose of the game is not necessarily platforming itself. It's to, you know, it's a shooter. The gyroscope thingy, it works, but I feel at times like... It's a little bit. I think it's going to take some getting used to, but once I get used to it, then you know I think it'll be good.
I am surprised by the tone of this.
I will probably kind of play it some more and then jump into the online matches and probably love it. But at the moment, I'm like, yeah.
Would you say it's worth buying a Wii U for?
From what I've played, no, but. I obviously I haven't played the main purpose of the game, which is the multiplayer aspect.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm kind of expecting things to kind of, you know, be a bit better.
Of course, the main thing I want to know is, are you a kid or a squid now?
Moving on. I also went to see The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Yesterday. That was actually quite an impressive film. I remember bits and dabs about the original. Was it the 70s series?
Yeah, I used to watch it every weekend.
I thought it was like late 60s, maybe early 70s.
Thanks for that, Retroid. Make me feel even older.
Good, 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 good.
You watched it as well. Don't lie.
Yeah, I did. Should have.
But yeah, I think Henry Cavill, who's obviously the main guy that is in there, he's very good in it. He's very suave and whatnot, and the storyline makes sense, but it's still kind of has its kind of moments of humor and stuff, which is quite good. It looks to be, it could be the start of a franchise. Which would be, you know, kind of interesting. Hugh Grant is in there. He's obviously not the main star, but yeah, he's in there. So
cool.
But yeah.
So you'd recommend it then?
Yes, especially if you kind of like spy thrillers and stuff, and maybe like slight tongue in cheek.
No, that looks good. I've been looking forward to that.
Slightly more positive message than James Bond as well.
Oh, right, cool. Nice one.
Well, I think in general, because of the whole, you know.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer for it, and I was surprised by, you know, how interested it got me.
Yeah. No, I must admit, the trailer hooked me. But then, you know, if it's going to be another franchise from Guy Ritchie, I really liked his Sherlock Holmes films as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of his other work, so that was good. So, cool. Nice one. Anything else?
Inside Out, which obviously we talked about earlier, so I think it's on to you.
Cool. I have been to see Ant-Man, was brilliant. The fight scenes were so well done with him moving from full size to ant size and back again that I just sat there with a big grin across my face throughout the whole thing.
I could make a comment about him getting bigger or smaller. But
excellent stuff for Nerds After Dark is on in 5 minutes' time. No, it's really enjoyable, actually. I was really impressed by it. It's probably one of my favourite Marvel films for a while now.
I've heard a surprising amount of people who have said that.
Yeah.
Because I expected it to be a bit shite, because of the whole thing about kicking off, you know, directors and writers and such, and getting, you know, drafting other people in. And
no,
it's the kind of thing where you think, oh, that's going to be a bit messy.
Yeah, no, it's not been messy at all. And to be fair, it's a bit like the original Iron Man film for me, where they actually concentrated on the characters rather than the whole Marvel universe, bringing other people into it.
I do get the feeling that the whole media frenzy about, you know, the whole old directors being kicked off and whatnot is probably just that media frenzy. It's probably far more friendly than, you know, what we've been made to believe.
I think it definitely was, especially when you hear about the Fantastic Four escapade, and I've got people who've been seeing have told me, do not go to the cinema to watch it. Do not waste your money on it.
Well, I mean, considering, you know, I think superheroes over the past couple of years, the films and kind of the stories behind, you know, the creation of them have been kind of fairly negative. Because, I mean, obviously you had like Joss Whedon's comments, you know, about like studio interference and whatnot from Age of Ultron. You've had, suddenly my mind's gone blank. Not Fantastic Four. But obviously you have had that as well. You've had Days of Future Past, which is, you know, which was released pretty much without Rogue. And, you know, the 40-odd minutes that is actually in the Rogue Cut or something stupid like that. So,
it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think superhero films have been, you know, kind of a bit bizarre lately when it comes to kind of the creator and the, you know, studio interference and whatnot. But yeah.
Definitely worthwhile to watch. I'm not going to spoil it anymore.
It does make Paul me wonder, though.
Is excellent as a hero, as the action hero. He's really good.
It does make me wonder, really, though, because obviously Ant-Man shrinks, right?
Yep.
So there's obviously the center point from which, you know, he shrinks.
Yes.
Is he actually able to change that? That center point, as it were. Does that actually make sense?
This is the kind of thing I think about when they have, you know, superpowers like that.
It's all to do with the Hank Pym particle, because I think the Pym particle does allow him to control that center. You know, and create the shrinking effect. Because in the comic books, Hank Pym goes on to send the Hank Pym particle the other way, so he becomes Giant Man by controlling his mass and the center.
See, also, I think so. Gaseous Man, Liquid Man, Solid Man.
Not until version 3.
See, I don't know if you're joking or not.
See, another thing that I saw on the internet, which was actually a good point, is that a lot of Marvel films have villains that actually have the same superpowers as the hero.
Yes, yeah.
Unfortunately, this is one of those cases.
It is indeed, but I think I'm really pleased they did go with that one, though, because for me, seeing them actually interact and the way they did the fight scene at the end, you'll know which one I'm on about, because I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
But the way that was encompassed and actually choreographed and that, I think that's part of the appeal for the film for me, because it was so cleverly done.
Mm.
Because of how they wrote it and actually choreographed it, or it made it, it gave it that bit of a impact that it needed.
Although I know it's got a bit of ire surrounding it because of the Wasp, who was
which the Wasp wasn't really in it, unfortunately, but she was mentioned, Janet Van Dyne or Janet Pym. Then of course you've got Hank's daughter in it as well, and that's been set up. If you stay and watch the credit scenes, that's been set up very well for the next film. Very well indeed.
Well, I've heard that they may not be going in that direction for the next film. I've heard, but I'm not.
I heard in Civil War she'll be making an appearance.
Okay, so that'll be interesting.
When it comes to Ant-Man, hopefully, you know, this isn't a spoiler or anything because I haven't seen it. But at any point, does either he or the bad guy, when they're small, punch an ant or get punched by an ant? And if not, why not?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, I'll go see it.
Oh, there you go. Excellent. Okay. Sold. Which is cool.
I am shallow enough for that to be a selling point.
Oh, dear. But you might not feel that way after you've got to know the ants.
That's true. Ants are too.
So that's all we've got time for this week. So it's goodbye from...
It's goodnight from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter.
It's goodnight from me, Paul Blewett. I'm on Twitter as @PaulBlewett.
And it's goodnight from me, Paul, a.k.a. OneArmed_Cookie on Twitter. You can also find show notes over at www.nerdassemble.co.uk. Do tweet at us. We like to read out our tweets. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+ as Nerd Assemble Podcast. If you've enjoyed my takeover, let us know. If you haven't, don't bother. And that's all. If you want to see Retroid have control...
Oh, God.
Tweet us.
I think some might say I already have too.
And that's good night from me.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.